Mr. Kenge now retired, and Richard with him, to where I was, near the door. Leaving my pet, it is so natural to me that again I can't help it, sitting near the Lord Chancellor, with whom his lordship spoke a little apart, asking her, as she told me afterwards, whether she had well reflected on the proposed arrangement, and if she thought she would be happy under the roof of Mr. Jarndyce of Bleak House, and why she thought so. Presently he rose courteously and released her, and then he spoke for a minute or two with Richard Carston, not seated, but standing, and altogether with more ease and less ceremony, as if he still knew, though he was Lord Chancellor, how to go straight to the candour of a boy.
"Very well," said his lordship aloud. "I shall make the order. Mr. Jarndyce of Bleak House has chosen, so far as I may judge," and this was when he looked at me, "a very good companion for the young lady, and the arrangement altogether seems the best of which the circumstances admit."
He dismissed us pleasantly, and we all went out, very much obliged to him for being so affable and polite, by which he had certainly lost no dignity, but seemed to us to have gained some. When we got under the colonnade, Mr. Kenge remembered that he must go back for a moment to ask a question, and left us in the fog, with the Lord Chancellor's carriage and servants waiting for him to come out.
"Well," said Richard Carston, "that's over. And where do we go next, Miss Summerson?"
"Don't you know?" I said.
"Not in the least," said he.
"And don't you know, my love?" I asked Ada.
"No,"
said she.
"Don't you?"
"Not at all," said I. We looked at one another, half laughing at our being like the children in the wood, when a curious little old woman in a squeezed bonnet, and carrying a reticule, came curtsying and smiling up to us with an air of great ceremony.
"Oh," said she, "the wards in Jarndyce. Very happy, I am sure, to have the honour. It is a good omen for youth and hope."